Evers, E-V-E-R-S.
You're with the league.
I'm a past president.
Generally, how did you think it went today?
Well, I think we were very pleased, first, that the court chose to hear the case, and I think that they asked some very good questions today to ferret out what our issues are. So I think the league in wholly is very pleased with what happened today.
Why is it so important to pursue this? Why do you think that this law needs to be struck down?
The League of Women Voters has a 90-year tradition of protecting the citizens' right for civil discourse and for the right to vote. We firmly believe and passionately believe that everyone has the right to vote. And these roadblocks that have been placed in front of this right need to be struck down.
The justices seem to indicate that it wasn't much of a roadblock.
Well, I don't think the justices have all the information. It's awfully hard to give them the whole case in 30 minutes. And I'm sure that they will read the cases that have been presented to them, the text, and will then decide that there are more to it than that.
Joanne, sorry, one of the things that the court seemed to stress is, now, is this a qualification or a regulation? And it seemed to me somebody having a hard time making the leap from just a simple voter regulation to qualification.
Well, I suppose it depends on who you are. I mean, I have a driver's license. I can vote without any problem whatsoever. We're talking about the citizens across the state of Indiana who do not have driver's license, who have to, if they want to vote, get an ID, and there are many, many hurdles they have to cross to get that ID. Our lawyer, Karen Celestino Horseman, and Bill Groth, they try to tell you that we do have people out there that have had these burdens placed in front of them, and we were hoping not to have to pull them into a case like this. These are people that are frail and may have disabilities. These are people who financially are at risk. They have other things in their life to work with right now. We did not want to bring them into this case if we didn't have to.
But wouldn't it make more sense to bring actual physical plaintiff and say, hey, I was in Orange County, Marion County, I didn't have an ID, I was turned away, tried a provisional ballot, and went through the normal safeguards, and would have just a physical human being made the case a lot stronger?
Well, I think the case is strong, and like I said, we can do that, and there are cases in the text that the justices have, and they can find those people, read about those people. If we have to do that, we'll have to decide if we want to do that, but we can.
When you brought this suit, did victims come to you and say, listen, this is too big a burden, we don't have ID, and were you moved by that? Is that why you brought this case?
Well, that was one reason. We certainly did have people come to us, not only to us, but other organizations across the state who deal with low-income people who have limited resources and could not get the ID, who can't pay for birth certificates from out of state, who don't even know how to do that. We live in a society, we think everybody can push a button on a computer. Our lives are not like that, not everywhere. And we have to protect their right to vote as well as everyone else who is a little cognizant more of what's happening in the legislature. We are protecting all the citizens of Indiana, not just a few of them.
Now, this has been litigated kind of all levels, and we're dealing with state constitutional claims here. What makes you think that these are different enough from the U.S. Supreme Court dealt with that you have a better chance here?
Oh, well, we're working with the Indiana Constitution, and the U.S. Supreme Court, it's not the same case at all. And I don't know, Karen, would you like to speak to that at all? Because that's sort of a legal question that I wouldn't mind you addressing.
Sure. The right to vote is a right that is given to us as Hoosiers by our Indiana Constitution. The right to vote in our state elections is not given to us by the federal constitutions. And we as the people hold an indefeasible right to alter or reform our government, which we have to presume is through ballots and not bullets. So this right is worthy of extra protection. I also hope that all of you as news media will go back and look at these new Bureau of Motor Vehicle Regulations that have managed to slip into effect without anyone really noticing them. It is now a completely different ballgame when it comes to getting a driver's license or a state identification card. Women are going to have to show all kinds of additional documentation to be able to track their name changes. We have the cost of these documents. I mean, like I was saying in there, the Marin County Health Department now requires you to get a copy of your birth certificate to present a photo ID card, your license or a state identification card. So you can't get one without the other, but you can't get the other without the one. So, I mean, I really do think this needs to be examined. These have come into play, and nobody, including the news media, has really looked at them closely, except for us due to current circumstances.
What will you do if the court remands this back to the trial court? You know what, go back, start all over again, go find a plaintiff, go do discovery, interrogatories, just go walk through the process, and then bring it back to us.
We will be ready to do that. I mean, when we filed that action, that's what we anticipated was going to happen. It was the state that filed a motion to dismiss for saying we failed to state a claim. And we've gone in here and argued that we did indeed state a claim.
What about this notion that the court said that you needed to have some victims, that someone who was denied the right to vote?
We have those. We have veterans who went in to vote who had the same veterans benefits card that I was talking about up there, but were not allowed to vote. We have one case where the person went back to get their ID and had to take a state representative with them as well as a volunteer to get the identification. Not everybody has that kind of resources available to them to be able to do that. That veteran was not allowed to vote. We have other veterans that are not allowed to vote, and they don't qualify to be able to cast an absentee ballot. I mean, the right to vote in Indiana is given to all people who are 18 years of age or older, who are residents of our state, and who are citizens of the United States. It's not just to be given to the many, it is to be given to the all. And the whole purpose of that provision is to enfranchise voters, not disfranchise voters.
How costly has this litigation been, and how prepared is the League of Women Voters to take this to the end?
This is our current president, so I don't want to neglect that she is the one who could speak to that question.
It's costly mostly, of course, in terms of time and effort. It's also costly in terms of dollars, but that's not been the point.
Can you repeat that, please?
I said it's costly in terms of time and effort, also in terms of dollars, but that's not been the point.
And you're prepared to go however long it takes?
We'll see. I presume that we are.
What's your name?
My name is Karen K. Leonard.
E-R-I-N.
K-A-R-E-N-K-A-Y-L-E-O-N-A-R-D.